Good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 30th July 2024, Tuesday class. As usual, we will be sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. And let us now gather for physical puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Machapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Okay, young and visitor, turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Right? We shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarappa dittena dittena tamadamsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tano dudang ganna sambara yuttena tumpena hang sugang hina Pujayami. Sorry. Pujayami. Sorry. Pujaye
Pujaniyam tam.
Pujaniyam tam. Puja bhajanamuttamam. Vanda ganda gunopetam. Etang kusuma santati. Pujayami munindasa. Siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi Buddhang kusumena nena punnena mettena ca hotu mokkhang upamilayati yatha idame kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigam hatumuttamam adivasetu no bante pale parikapitam Anukampang upadaya patigam hatumuttamam adivasetu no bante Bhojanam parikapitam anukampang upadaya patigam hatumuttamam. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripajan. Bhutan Pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. As usual, we are off the lights that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So this awareness-based meditation is different very different from the normal method and technique, and even using object of meditation to develop the meditation as usually done by most Dharma practitioner or with those of the Buddhist community, and especially the Theravada tradition. And whereas the Mahayana tradition, they have different approach. Theirs is mainly the Pure Land tradition. So most of them rely on chanting the Buddha's name and other things. But all this, if you have the understanding, you can also approach it and finally also realize the same thing. Actually, to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha is very important. What the Buddha emphasized on is heedfulness. So whatever type of meditation you do or approach that you take, as long as it leads to inner mindfulness, leading to the stability of it, or what we call awareness. So this awareness need to be built up first, because to be heedful, to be mindful, the Buddha defined it very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Where heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Therefore, if you are not heedful, you are not mindful, you don't stand a chance, you are as if dead. And this heedfulness has to be there throughout the day, not only when you are in the formal meditation. Even in your daily life, daily activity, you need to be in this state of heedfulness. Yeah. Then Dhammapada verse 22 actually complement verse 21. He said, knowing the important difference between heedfulness and the heedless, the danger of heedlessness, and the importance of being heedful, the wise were intent on heedfulness. And because of that, the wise one who intend on heedfulness, they were rejoiced in the realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened beings. The enlightened disciple of the Buddhas, or enlightened beings during the time of the Buddha. Aryas are called noble ones. So noble ones are very noble in all aspects of life. They have the embodiment of noble eightfold path. That's why without heedfulness, and you don't intend on heedfulness, you cannot progress. You don't stand a chance to realize the enlightenment. Then Dhammapada verse 23 defines clearly what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two practices, then you will realize the supreme born-free enlightenment, which is Nibbana. So, referring to this Dhammapada verse 23, now we understand why the Buddha defined it in such a manner. Well, when you have these two, as stated by the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23, then you are heedful. Means heedfulness has two parts. First part is ever mindful, which means we have to train our mind to be aware or mindful first, then stabilize it until it become ever mindful. And not only in the meditative state, you have to stabilize it until your mind enters the deep, so that you can be mindful and heedful in the midst of life throughout the day, even out of the meditation. Then the second part is, after you have developed this mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful, use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness. So that is the meaning of constantly meditating. Means you are constantly developing the wisdom and the understanding as taught by the Buddha. Means cultivating the first turning, second turning, and the third turning of the Four Noble Truths, leading to all the three types of wisdom: Suttamaya Panya, Cittamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. Then, how to do it is to use Noble Eightfold Path as a guide. So within Noble Eightfold Path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, or right living, followed by the four right effort to purify our thought process, our mundane thought process and activity. Then followed by the right mindfulness, which is samasati. Now this samasati, you need to develop it, stabilize it, so that it becomes very stable. Then accumulate into samadhi, which is the last of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. So when you have all this, you are developing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And within this samasati, it also carries with it the four foundations of mindfulness cultivation. And within the four foundations, there are many categories of practices of cultivation that the Buddha has expounded. Because there are four foundations, you have to develop them all. First is kayanupassana, is mindfulness of kaya, all activity within your kaya. Then mindfulness of feeling, vedana, that arise within your own form and mind. Then mindfulness of citta, cittanupassana, means all the mind state that arise within your mundane manifestation. Then finally is the last of the four foundation, which is dhammanupassana, means mindfulness of the essential dhamma that the Buddha has taught you, which he defined clearly in the sutta. He said the first category of dhamma that you need to be mindful of are the five mental hindrances. So these five mental hindrances are very important. So unless you develop it, it's not easy for you to develop the clear understanding. Then after that, you have to develop mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. Then mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Then mindfulness of the four noble truths, including the three turnings. So this completes the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, together with the four foundation of mindfulness or Satipatthana cultivation. So hopefully with this explanation you understand. And now we will just develop the training of the mind to be aware and stabilize it to be ever mindful, then develop it until it enters sati. When mind enters sati, means your mind is in sati. Then even when you come out of the former meditation, When you come out of meditation, you are still mindful where your mind has entered sati, which means it has developed the stability of mindfulness until it's so stable. Until your mind itself is in sati, means your mind is always in the state of awareness, either specific phenomenal awareness through the stability of daily mindfulness, or you can sit in a formal meditation in a relaxed state of inner awareness without a center, means spacious awareness without a center, to realize your oneness nature, your true mind, your silent mind. So all these are the understanding that you can develop. So what I have given you are the four support that can help support you to develop this awareness-based meditation. First, you need to understand what is awareness, the difference between awareness and consciousness. Most people are conscious of life, but they are never mindful. To be mindful means to be with the awareness nature, this aware, before the knowing, before the arising of aggregates of mind. Yes, that awareness, aware. Finish. That's why in the awareness-based meditation, the advice is don't verbalize. Don't try to know and don't try to do. Because the moment you verbalize, you create activity of mind, thought process, thinking. Then how can you be mindful? Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are completely silent without thought, so that you are aware of whatever is going on within life, so that you can be with the moment to insight into phenomena, or to observe and to awaken, to understand the reality within nature, to see things as they are. So all these are the important understanding. Then after that, what you need to do is, you need to relax. The first support is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Whether you feel any tension, stress, or tightness, or whatever uncomfortable activity within your body and mind, just relax it. Feel it soothingly and relax so that you can be at ease. So that there is no tension, no stress, nothing to distract you or make you uncomfortable. Means 自在, at ease. Just relax, body and mind. When you are relaxed, you don't think, you don't create thought activity. That's why trying to know and trying to do are by the thought process. Who is trying to know? The thought is trying to know. The thought is curious, wanting to know. Then, wanting to do in the name of meditation, where you think there must be a meditator. And the meditator to you is only the thought, because that is the only instrument you have. But wherever there is a thought or a meditator, there is no meditation, as clearly pointed out by J. Krishnamurti. Because that meditator is the thought. And the thought tries to meditate with what? With all the labeling, the what they call verbalization. So what the thought do is they start to know. They will give you a series of instructions to do things via methods, technique, and object of meditation. Note this, note that, and all. When you do that, you verbalize. Then how can you be in the state of sati? The moment you verbalize, you create thought. You are lost in thought. You become keenness. So lost in thought means you are preoccupied with what you are thinking, planning, or the emotion that you create through your own thought activity. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the restlessness and the mental hindrance that continue to arise due to your own lack of spiritual faculty to develop the meditative state. So like the wording goes, they are mental hindrance, mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So how can you meditate? When you have the mental hindrance, it means your spiritual faculty are not there. That's why for the cultivator who understand, you will cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Then you relax, maintain awareness, which is the second support. So after you relax, you maintain awareness, means whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't follow, don't create any more thought process. Then when you can do this, until most of the time you are just aware, finish. Then it will act as a preliminary, very good, skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking and heedless reaction to sense experience. So all your verbalization, chattering, and so-called thought activity, they will start to like slow down, until finally they become very quiet, then they cease. Now, this cessation of the thought is very important, where this is the first stage to realize awareness. So you must understand, the moment you are without thought, you already aware that there is your true mind before the stirring, before the thought process, before the creation from the awareness nature to manifest as thought, mundane thinking, the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. So understand all this. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do that one. Not really required for most people, except those who have developed the stability of inner awareness until you are very stable and very conversant with that training. And then you can move on to the fourth support, to try to locate your inner nature. There is a gateway that you can connect to your inner nature, which is around your heart area. So for those who already have that ability, you can stay at the heart and just relax, maintain awareness, and let the nature move by itself, wherever it wants to activate or move or create a movement or inner transformation, let it do. Then if you are stable enough with your awareness, one day the nature will detect the gateway. Then you will know what that thing is if you have been doing it correctly. And something very beautiful will happen. Your external yin yang energy, they will melt inside and transform into pure energy, which is very conducive for your internal transformation. And that is the fourth support. Okay, now with this, I will let you proceed with your awareness-based meditation for about half an hour. Eh? I will set the alarm now. Okay. Okay. You all can slowly mindfully come out of the meditation, then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajas sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atase bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhase. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vicharana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditado vinuhiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Kāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Sāmicchipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Yadidaṃ cattari purisa yukkāni Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho āhuneyo pāhuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttaraṃ puññaṃ kethaṃ lokassāti sādhu sādhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 598. This one is based on the commentaries by Master Xuan Huang. The wonderful Dhamma Flower Lotus. Dhamma, wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 598, volume 4, chapter 3, A Parables by Tipitaka Master Xuan Huang. Okay, I will read from where we stop. I've heard that a lot, you say. Really? How many times? Several dozen times. So this one is a commentary by Xuan Huang. Well, how many times have you put it into practice? Sure, you have heard so much of benefiting oneself and benefiting others, awakening oneself and awakening others. But how much have you put it into practice? How many others have you benefited? How many others have you caused to be awakened? One, two, probably none. You have not even benefited or awakened one or two. person, what use is your having heard of it? No use at all. The path must be followed. Do you? Sorry, do it truly. Do it sincerely. Plant your feet firmly on the ground and do the work diligently and reliably. What is meant by doing it truly? The same deed can be done differently by different people. Others may do it with the thought of benefiting themselves. But if you can do it with the thoughts of benefiting others, then you have done it truly. So this is Xuanhua's commentary and explanation. We asked earlier on when we were going through this part of the sutta, it was mentioned the bodhisattva who go the bodhisattva way, they not only benefit themselves, but they also vow to benefit others. And their first basic vow of the bodhisattva is they vow, their nature vow, to take across all beings to the other shore, which is from samsara to realize nibbana, means to enlighten all beings. So here Xuanhua mentioned, he said, you have heard the sutta, you have heard the explanation, you have heard the sharing, but have you really developed the understanding and put it into practice? Well, developing the understanding is very important. Without understanding, you cannot put it into practice. So when you walk this way, which is the bodhisattva way, we must understand clearly what is required of us. What are the deep meanings of all those vows, the four basic vows that we undertake to carry out? And how can we make it into a living reality, manifested? So here, Xuanhua, you go back just now to the notes. Mention, he said, downward a bit. How many times have you put it into practice? And this is very important. I think most people overlook this part. Like the Buddha under his second term, he said, this four number two, you have to turn it three times. And each of these number two, there are different emphases. That's why when it comes to the fourth noble truth, which is the noble eightfold path, this fourth noble truth, which is the cultivation of the noble eightfold path that leads to the end of all suffering, is to be cultivated. Why did he say it's to be cultivated? Because when you know about it or learn about it, it's not enough. You have to cultivate it until it becomes a part of you. You have the embodiment of all the noble eightfold path factor. But under the first noble truth, what he said is different. He said there is this first noble truth of dukkha. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Understanding it is enough. When you understand, means you have realized it. There is no cultivation involved, because it is not the noble eightfold path. It is just realizing the four noble truths, the first noble truth in particular, which is the reality of life and existence. So he said, in life, in existence, if you live long enough, you have to confront all these eight realities of life and existence. And when you confront them without wisdom, the Dhamma wisdom as taught by him, you will suffer. You will be afflicted. So he said, this first noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. You have to understand it. That's why we have to go into the inquiry part, second turning. Why did the Buddha say this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? And how can I develop the understanding of it? So this second turning is very important. To be understood means clearly developing the understanding of it. So why did the Buddha state the second turning of the first noble truth in such manner? So we inquire, if we have not developed the understanding of this first noble truth, what will happen to you? What will happen to you? When you encounter this eight reality, without the understanding of the Dhamma, most people, they'll get themselves entangled. And suffering is the result. That's why if you have not developed the understanding of it, that is the big danger, the real danger. Because you may be afflicted. You may be suffering without knowing that this is suffering. And you still blame the world, blame God, and blame everything for what happened. Why are these people so cruel? So lack of understanding, so violent, so selfish, so greedy. Why is God so unfair? All these questions come from your own delusion, where you have not understood the first noble truth realities. That's why affliction arises, suffering arises. Then after you know that this is important, what must you do? You have to go all out and develop the understanding. So the second inquiry is, after I know why I must understand this first noble truth reality, so that I will not be entangled when I confront them, so that I will not fall into those category of beings that are heedless, that are afflicted without knowing that this is suffering. Then I move on to develop the clear understanding. So first is to inquire, why did the Buddha say it? So now I understand why the Buddha said it, so that I understand what this first noble truth of dukkha, the eight realities are, so that when I confront it, I'm not deluded by it. I can actually make use of the understanding to understand life and live life. Then the second part of the inquiry of the second turning is, how can I understand it? So you have to develop the inquiry. How can I develop the understanding? We have gone through it. How can you develop the understanding? Huh? You must reflect. And what must you do? You must reflect and contemplate on the first noble truth proclamation by the Buddha, isn't it? Then you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Reflect, contemplate. Then when you reflect and contemplate, you recollect the birth process based on what you have developed as understanding in life. Is it really suffering? If you don't reflect and contemplate, you will fall into the category of misled people, which most living beings got entangled in. But they only concerned with the good things that will happen. Oh, my wife conceived already. Pregnancy is on the way. Delivery is on the way. I'm going to become the proud parents or father. Then the grandparent will become the happy grandparent and all those things. Then the wife too look forward to their first baby, newborn baby. Then they look forward to buying all the things for the newborn baby. Then first, what they call More great is in English is what? Full moon. The full moon celebration. Then after that, looking forward to have a family, and a kid or a child to be proud of, to develop all the whatever you have looked forward to. But you never look at the possibility of negativity manifestation. There may be complication during birth. There may be all the problems that comes with that birth process. Especially the mother has to go through a lot of problems during the first month, the vomiting and all the uncomfortable happenings. Then as the pregnancy takes its course, they cannot afford to fall. They cannot afford to overwork. Miscarriage can happen and many things. And sometimes the physical body of most ladies, especially our modern society, we are not as strong as our forefathers and parents. They work very hard in the field and all those things. Like my mother, non-stop, early morning, 5 o'clock, 8 a.m. Sometimes 4 a.m. she wake up and work until 8 a.m., 9 a.m. non-stop throughout the day. And they really sacrifice for the family, do their duty very well. Everything about the household, one person look after. And they can give birth to 8, 9, or 10 children. Nowadays, 1, 2 child, they surrender already. Then they give you terms and conditions if you want to have a child. So different. Then most of them, they are not so equipped with the physical readiness to go through the birth process and the pregnancy. And nowadays, they are so fortunate if they have the means and the money. They got confinement center. They got confinement professional ladies to help them to look after them during their confinement. And now I was told by Sui, the Employment Act and the rules have improved a lot. Now, not only the lady or the wife get 4 months maternity leave, the husband also get at least 1 month in Singapore. So all these are making life easier for people to plan their family and to have babies. I think the government also want to encourage that. And it is for the good of the many. But then the complication part, suddenly, because of the change in bodily formation and health requirement during pregnancy, the fetus need to draw a lot of nutrients from the mother. Then most common problem is lack of iron. And the mother become anemic. Then sometimes it's also after pregnancy, the recovery. If you don't know how to handle it, most mother become very weak after they deliver. Even with the 1 month confinement, I saw a lot of people, they actually not only go out of shape, they like age very fast. So that's the reason why they say you must have all this chapo, what you call that in English? Sekpo means re-nourish yourself and gain back your health. And they have to do a lot of massage exercise, I want to say. But the worst one is when there is complication in the birth process. Some is not natural birth. They end up, the leg come out first. It's not the usual birth. So that one need cesarean. And nowadays, the cost of medical attention is not cheap. Sometimes you have to book your gynae to help you go through the delivery of a process, and it's not cheap. You go private sector, sometimes the figure can come to four figure. Yeah. And minimum is, I was told, some 20,000-30,000. Yeah. Whereas you go government hospital, provided you have the good karma, you only cost my daughter, no, I think my wife stay one night, I think, $9 in government hospital. My son extended, I think, 2 or 3 nights, maybe 9 times 3 or 2, I forgot already. I think it's cheap. But I got some classmates who told me, the first baby, they go to UAsia. He thought it would be cheap, you know, but he is not a government servant. You know. So what he did was, he didn't ask people around. He like very happy and very eager to make known his profession. So when he registered the wife, he go and put their engineer. You know. Engineer, the bill is different. So he got to pay 9,000 plus, you know, compared to my 9 ringgit. You know. Still, allow, you see. My salary is only 1,200. This is almost 1 year's salary. You know. So all this is the reality. But at least that one, if you can have the means, it's not an issue, and there's not a lot of people willing to pay. And now confinement center not cheap now. You book for 1 month, easily, the cheap one also 12,000 to 13,000. Then you extend it is more. Then you want better one. We know of one of our parameter, he had a confinement center beyond 28, which is a very good confinement center. It ranges from 16K to 20K. And you have to book. And this is the 28-day package. It's not yet included all the other miscellaneous packages. So now the baby is not cheap. Then, when it comes to feeding the baby, it's also not cheap, I can tell you. The baby, the consumer, last time my time was the S26. That time already 30 ringgit per can. Now I was 200 over or 200 over ringgit per can. And you think that can last you how long? Less than 4 days. Because 1 day you have to feed every 2 hours. No? Less than 3 4 days finish. That's why those who want to save money, they use their own mother's milk, breastfeeding, and complement. But whatever it is, these are the reality. That's why you don't contemplate, you don't go through, you cannot understand. So we have to reflect, we have to contemplate. So birth process is already a lot of all this type of understanding that can come with it. Because it is indeed suffering. Birth is suffering. The other reason is with birth come what? Old age, sickness, and death, and the whole mess of suffering. But that is a reality. Whatever that is being born, you will have to go through the phases of life, the reality of life and existence. So it will be followed by old age, sickness, and death, even injury and disease, then separation and all those things. Then you have to go into it one by one. Aging, getting old, is it suffering? That's why you will start to understand the reality of birth and death, the physical form and all those things. And all these are tied to the essential Dhamma for you to understand. That's why the five daily contemplation, they are very closely related to this first four reality of the first noble truth. The Buddha said this body of ours is of the nature to be born, to grow old, get sick, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Because this is not you. This one is completely conditional, a vehicle for you to come. And this is the one that is subject to nature's law that governs life and existence. The physical body is only made up of the four elements, and the four elements are nature's element. They go the way of nature. That's why they are subject to old age, sickness, and death. And it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. That's why when you contemplate and reflect, and when you have understood this, then you develop the initial wisdom. Then when the body is sick, when the body grows old, gets sick and about to die, there is no fear. But this one pertains to the physical form, which is not you. This one goes the way of nature. Then when it comes to separation also, you have to contemplate the trauma, the suffering, the misery, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the resentment, the anger, the hatred. All this, they actually torment the living being. And they cause a lot of suffering, mental suffering and physical suffering. These are what we call relationship failure. It's also a type of separation. Then when things happen in such a way, like during financial crisis, nature's natural occurrences or nature's disaster, or even social crimes and all those things, leading to kidnapping, robbery, and sometimes riot or war. A lot of all these racial riots and all those things, war, can bring about death and separation. Then when it comes to business, the thing that you own, your wealth, your property, your business, your possession, things that you hold on to dearly, not only your loved one, they can also separate from you. Your loved one can also separate from you during death, accident or whatever. But during crisis, a lot of things that you believe you own, the conditions is to be you may lose them, completely wipe off, like during the currency crisis, financial crisis, and the major crisis, like First World War, Second World War. These are realities, and we need to reflect and contemplate to develop the understanding. That's why this one is just understanding it, but when it comes to enlightenment, fulfilling the Bodhisattva vow or way to realize Sammasambuddhahood, awakening or enlightenment, this one need to be put into cultivation. Understanding it is the first step. When you understand, you need to put it into practice, then develop the awakening, the fulfillment of the 10 perfection cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood. It may take very long, but when you have the understanding, there is no problem with the amount of time needed. Like the 5 stages of Bohimaya development that we have gone through. At the 4th stage, Bohimaya that renounces samsara, means by then samsara is no more an issue. You can seek it. You can forego. You no longer fear samsara. Okay, we go back to the notes for the sharing. So this one, I think by now, the understanding is clearer. Others may do it with the thought of benefiting themselves, but you can do it with the thought of benefiting others. At least that is the beginning. Then you have done it truly. Because that vow to take across all living beings means you not only develop the cultivation understanding, then after that you have to benefit others too, so that others also can realize the enlightenment and can go this way if they have the condition for them to go this way. Okay, I'll read on. Some people may understand a matter or a principle and leave it at that, not worrying about whether anyone else understands it. Once you understand it yourself, you should then teach it to others and help them to understand. That is to awaken oneself and to awaken others. In general, there are different ways of doing things in this world. One person may be selfish and seek personal benefit, while another person may do nothing but benefit others. Those who are selfish and seek their own benefit go to hell. Why? They are simply selfish and obsessed with personal benefits. Then those who benefit others may also go to hell. This one you must understand it clearly. This one the meaning is deeper. Why? Because they go there to rescue living beings in the hell. Their goal is to undergo suffering themselves to understand, in order to teach those in the hell how to leave suffering and attain the supreme bliss of Nirvana. A star bodhisattva did that. For example, did that. He is constantly in the hell. Oh, sorry. He's constantly in the hells, being a friend to all the hungry ghosts. But he has gone there by his own choice, with the intention to lead this hungry ghost from suffering to enlightenment, to realize the bliss of Nirvana. There are a lot of confused people in the world, and I will pass on to them whatever understanding I have. This is Xianhua. That is called awakening oneself and awakening others, benefiting oneself and benefiting others. To sum it up, there are different ways of doing things. Now, this one is very true. Different great beings do things differently. Different bodhisattva do things differently. Although the vow is the same, but it can be approached from many way, from many way and direction. It's like what I just said before. One person may do it to benefit himself, while someone else will do it to benefit others. You want to know what certain people are like, just observe and see whether what they do is for their own self-benefit or for the benefits of others. That is what you should take note of. So this one, observing yourself, is very important so that you do not deviate from the sincerity of purpose or the intent of cultivation and the intent of going the bodhisattva way. We are taking the bodhisattva vows and all this miscellaneous vows and additional vows. So all this need to be understood, then cultivated and perfected. Then Xianhua continued, I just said that wine, sensual desire, wealth and anger are the four walls in the burning house analogy. Then Xianhua said the bodhisattva also has this four walls of similar wine. Sensual desire is equivalent to sex, wealth and anger that he has not yet jumped over and left behind. So the bodhisattva's wine is saving living beings. So this one is putting it in another way. The more living being he saves is analogous to the more he drinks. He put inverted comma, so not really drink. There is energy. Then the drunkard, the more drunkard he becomes. The bodhisattva's sensual desire is for the entire Tipitaka, with its 12 division of sutta. So he wants to study them. And the bodhisattva also loves the wonderful Dhamma as his well. Where this is spiritual well. Thus he is tremendously fond of well. The Buddha Dhamma, the bodhisattva also possess energy. So the energy is directed differently. Yeah? You look at the notes down there. In Mandarin, energy is qi, yeah? The word qi. Fa pi qi, also qi. Yeah? So can be translated as anger in the words mentioned earlier. But it can also mean energy. Yeah? The energy got two types. Huh? Yin and yang. Then, 真气, the pure energy. So all these are the understanding. He takes the six paramita for Mahayana is six instead of ten. And the Mayavada practice as his energy source. And practice them every day. Not only every day, every minute, every second. Without the six paramitas and the mind-right practices, he would have no energy. He would die. This one, just take it literally. You know why he said, when you study the Buddha Dhamma, when you share the Buddha Dhamma, when you try to take people across, you have a lot of energy. I explained to you all before, really. You know, this nature very funny, you know. When people tap from your nature, or draw from your nature, or benefit from what you share, your nature itself never get depleted on. Understand? It's not like a reservoir. People tap the water that is in the reservoir, keep on flowing out, then after that it become empty. This one is different, you know? This one, the more you draw, the more you give, the more charged up you become one. That's why the chi, the energy, it will come to you. And when you are delivering it straight from the heart, your nature actually become very different. That's why a lot of Kayamita have saw this before and realized this before, even at the retreat. Which is very common, and sometimes when I deliver my sharing in my classes, I realize when I am delivering, especially at the retreat, that nature's energy is very strong. And that one can actually awaken living being. Then what happened is, after that, even if initially like I got some slight flu or they call it's like running nose, but it's not running nose, it's the weather and sometimes the incense that cause the thing. Then like you think I'm going to get sick, but no. Yeah. Then when I start to deliver the Dhamma, I recover, I get charged up. And many people have witnessed that and seen it. Then that day in Singapore, I got a niece that followed me, my brother's daughter. She worked in Singapore. We had our brunch, and I think we were late a bit that day. We're supposed to reach the Buddhist library area where we gave the sharing at about 1:30. Now, 1 to 1:15 actually, but end up because Sui's birthday also happened to be that day, so delay until almost 2 p.m. Then I deliver the sharing until almost 5 o'clock. Then my niece, he told Sui, "Wow," he said, "你爸 course, can last so long. Yeah, normally, you were to perform whatever or give lecture, normally you cannot go that distance. Then I realize a lot of people, even this, yeah, our this, Joyce, he used to ask me, last time at the Sampo Temple retreat, Sipati, you don't need to rest on other retreats. I said, why must rest? He said, even monks also told me, because he used to follow Ajahn Chah. He said, after the retreat, Ajahn Chah need to stay another night, to rest, to recover. Then a lot of people, when they conduct retreat, to them, it's not easy, it's like, hey, actually, my only problem is, you remember, the throat. If I read for 8, 9 days, the throat should give problem. Should come out. That's enough. I very smart. I ask a lot of Kalimita to help me read. So now we got a lot of good readers, the volunteer, especially Sister, they are, what, that lady, what's her name again? Ah, Tammy, Sister Tammy. Manjun also very good. Ingbi also very good. Then sometimes PG also, not bad. These four help me a lot. They take the duty. So, apart from my throat, that's why I need to rest my throat. Yeah? As far as the sharing is concerned, I got no problem. Yeah? Then, of course, as you age, last time I can sit on the cushion, no problem at all. But because of what happened, there was one year where I forgot to bring my cushion. I think that one gave me the sign and teach me a good lesson. Don't try to be a hero. That's why after that I sit on the couch. Yeah? Because no point hurting your leg. And if you sit too long, you will have posture problem. Yeah. That's why later on I came to know like what that brother, what, Vincent, he said most people who sit on all need his service on to work, because of the accumulated lactic acid, and yes, you sit too long, and the lactic acid all accumulate, and your buttock area, I think they develop a lot of like blood clot and all those things. And constriction to your blood flow and all those things. And sometimes it causes your spinal area to have problem. And here ache, there ache and all those things. So because of that, I think the last few years helped me. I didn't continue to sit on the floor in the cushion. And I felt that my condition didn't deteriorate. Then I was very lucky. My house are opposite my house. There is a physiotherapy center. And the lady, they're very good. And it so happened. Then somebody, I think, said about physiotherapy and all those things. I think I heard from Bertil. He said, Bertil is very good. Then he got a knee operation and all those things. Then I got another classmate who went to operation. The teeth, I think their spine there at the back, the sacral, the fourth and fifth of the number of the sacral. After that, he also go for physio, he's very good. So I didn't know what is physio, so I go and try. Well, this one happened to be very good, the lady there, Eunice. He price, she no one know, and her hand, the strength very good. Then she checked, she detected, oh, here, very chronic. It must be long time sitting and all those things. Then finally, I went for the treatment. I think 3 or 4 sessions. Oh, completely healed. I got no problem. So it's a blessing in this guy. Okay, we better continue. Otherwise, not enough time for sharing. I need to end fast. Although it seems like Bodhisattvas does share this trait with us living beings, in actuality, they don't. These traits are the same in name only. The more the Bodhisattva drinks the wine of saving living beings, the more he enjoys doing it to the point that he loses his self altogether. Doesn't the Vajra Sutta, Diamond Sutta, say, a Bodhisattva is free of the conception of self, the conception of human being, the conception of living beings, and the conception of a lifespan. So all these are in the sutta, even the Six Vajra Platform Sutta is also mentioned that when you develop the cultivation, you will realize the second hallmark of winning cultivation wisdom, wu xiang, no mark. When you realize no mark, you penetrate the dhamma. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living beings and others, no mark of life, existence, and dhamma, and the rest of it. So all these are in the sutta and can be understood. But how could the Bodhisattva be without a self if he were not drunk? It is because he drank too much of the wine of saving living beings that he thereby loses his self. This one is Xuan Hua's version. Don't go and believe it. This is what he tried to make it humorous. Not only has he lost his self, he has also lost the notion of a human being or living being and of a lifespan. He has nothing at all. You are nothing, nobody. Why does he not have anything, you ask? It's because Bodhisattva is drunk. This is Xuan Hua's version. Bodhisattva can become drunk too. I hope you all can master this too and drink the wine of saving living beings. There is not much to say about the Buddha Dharma. I'm just saying things that some wouldn't feel comfortable saying. So this is Xuan Hua's approach. Okay, we stop here. We mark it. Okay, we are at page 599. Today I do the sharing. We are Jin Hao say, and PG, they want to know how was the Singapore trip. So I will do the sharing on this Singapore trip. This recent Singapore trip, I went down with my wife, together with Sui, and Ben. And my niece also joined me. It was a very good trip. It's like meant to be. We went down on Friday, 26th of July, and I just came back yesterday, 29th July. So today, Tuesday, I will do the sharing. So overall, it was a very good session, and it's like a lot of things are meant to be. When I was there, only I realized many things. Then also from the message, you may start to develop the understanding. Po Cheng also mentioned a lot of the Singapore Kayamita. Initially, I thought I have not more than 10, a handful of one. So we end up this round, our lunch, there were 22 of us. So even after your minuses, I think there are about 18 or 19 that turn up. And there are some who may not know me at all. So this trip, I get to know them all. And this time, I think because of the frequency of my visit, the last visit was about 2 years ago, 2022, when I went there. That time was T.K. Chan and Po Cheng Dey Off and a few Kayamita. Then they decided to invite me for House Dana, and we had a very good sharing that day. That one was longer, marathon, I think. It started at about eight something, around 9, end up 6 p.m. Almost 9 hours. But of course, we have our lunch, which is the lunch dinner. And from there, I start to get to know a few people, but because of the duration, 2 years, some of them I can't really recall who and remember who. So what happened is this trip, we were very fortunate, because there are three or four new Kayamita. They are retired and most of them are accountant. And I was told they came to know me through my YouTube. And one of them, Brother Teo Boon Fei, he is very exceptional. He got affinity. I was told by his good friend that Tan Kong Chai, he volunteered to fetch us from the hotel. And he was the one that told me, he said that Brother Teo, Teo Boon Fei, he said he was doing his master degree or PhD, I think, in Buddhism, Dhamma. Then he need to do the thesis or whatnot. So he needs some material. Then he Googled the website. And my seminar paper came out, Bangkok seminar paper that I delivered. Called Yajipun, at the back tour. This one is Success in Life. The title is Success in Life. We are meditation following the Dhamma way. It's a very thin copy. And actually, I also almost forgotten about it. It was delivered in the year 2013, about 11 years ago. This is the book. This is the book. And this book is very good because it summarizes to you why the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma is taught by the Buddha, is so unique. And this is an international seminar, organized, co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and the Mindfulness Center in Thailand. They hold in Bangkok in the year 2013, and I was invited as a lay representative of Malaysia. Then every country got two, one monk and one lay representative. So there are five countries, I think. So I represented the Malaysia side as a lay person. Then the rest, they are all, I think, in the photo of this seminar book. So he said, after he Googled, he saw one thin book like that, summarize everything inside there, and he realized it was so good. That's why he start to find out what I do. Then he Googled my website, and after that, he was glued to all the sharing, and he loved it so much because the sharing is so different, making him understand so much thing. Then he start to let his Tan Kong Chai know. Then Kong Chai become very excited. Then after that, they let another one, I think Michael something, Tay, Michael Tay. So they were all very excited. And because of this, the affinity was there. That's why when they heard I'm going over, they were so excited now, and they all registered for the retreat now. Then there was another lady who actually know me long time ago, Sister Tan Sing Hua. And during the lunch, we had the sharing. So many things actually happened. I finish out with Singhua first. She is like a very small woman. She asked me during the luncheon, "Sipratibo, Brother Eric Tan, he is my brother." So I thought, which Eric Tan? I thought the wave one. No? At first, I thought the wave one, Eric Tan and Pearlie. He said, no, this is Subang Jaya. Oh, I said, I know. I said, is it the one with the daughter that had the cancer? You remember? Suyan's house? He brought the daughter. Then he was the one last time, and he knew to Buddhism. But because the daughter, that daughter was quite young at that time, I think. Still studying in secondary school, I think Form 1 or primary school, I forgot already. So he had cancer, and I think as a father, he very concerned and full of what they call intent to help her. So he ran all over until he end up at Subang Jaya Buddhist Association. So what happened was, he want to find answer. So they teach him all sorts of dharma. They say you must learn how to liberate life. Function. Yes. Go and free the bird. Free the fishes. And later on, I think, doesn't really help them. Then Sui An happened to be there at that time. Suyan said, "Come, I introduce you to Brother." So he gave me the class. Then he asked me all those questions. No? Then he told me all those things. I said, "I need to explain a few things to you." I said, "The Dhamma is very different when you understand it. Because, like, freeing life, all those things, you may think that is compassion and all those things, but the way you do it must be with the understanding. When there is condition to do all this, you do. But you go and buy from the market or people who prep and get ready for you, and you go and free and release. Actually, you may cause them more problem because they already lose the ability to adjust. Or you free them, they have become so comfortable being caged and fed. Suddenly, you think you release them." You are helping them. Then the fishes, you release them. They may end up as food for the bigger fisher and all those things. I said, it is more tangible you do it with understanding. But all these are not the one that can give you a lot of merit, son. I said, the one that can give you a lot of merit is the understanding. When you cultivate and when you have the understanding, you will know how to live life. And help you develop the understanding to understand life and turn around whenever you encounter a problem. I said, yours is the typical first noble truth reality here involving your daughter, attachment and all those things. So scared of vibration. Yeah, this disease is very traumatic. It's cancer. And has to go through all those chemo thing and all those things. It could be very traumatic. So luckily after that, I explained to him. Then I said, there are three things that you can do if you follow the advice of the Buddha or the teaching that he has passed down. So I said, the first thing is to understand the spiritual law that governs life and existence. The first one being the law of karma, I said. Then the law of mind, and the last one, the law of truth, means kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Especially kaya niyama, kama niyama means the spiritual law of karma. The Buddha already said we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever happened to us, or your daughter, it has definitely a lot to do with karma. So what you can do is, you yourself can on her behalf and your wife too. Ask for forgiveness and do the repentance. Yeah, this will break your coming, her coming obstruction, so that he can receive help from people who can actually come forward and help her. Then I say after that, you must do it for at least 6 months, daily, for about 3 to 6 months. Then after that, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind so that you will not repeat all these mistakes. Well, when you do repentance, you do with understanding. So after you repent, you vow not to commit all this karmic negativity or evil that leads to all this karmic entanglement in the future, so that you can actually change over to a new way of living life that can improve your good karma, your good karmic inheritance. And by following the advice of the Buddha, you are actually cultivating the teaching. We have his advice, Dhammapada verse 183, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, is actually sila, samadhi, and panya. You are cultivating precept to avoid all evil. You are cultivating wholesomeness, whatever wholesomeness, kusala, karma, is whatever wholesomeness, goodness, merits, or whatever, you cultivate them. Then after that, you meditate, purify your mind, develop the first, second, and third turning wisdom, so that you develop the Dhamma wisdom to overcome whatever suffering that come your way, or first noble truth reality that may arise to afflict you. So all this is very useful. And as you cultivate over a period of 3 to 6 months, you develop merits. Then when you follow the advice of the Buddha, you avoid all evil, do good, and pure, you take care of karma, and you develop a lot of parami, merits, wholesomeness. Then you develop a lot of wisdom. And these are very meritorious. All the time meritorious action will be there when you develop the cultivation, all the Buddhist activity that we do. The 10 meritorious action, dana, sila, bhavana. So dana means you make offering. Puja also make offering. And after you make offering, it can be to the Sangha or to anybody who is well trained or respected. Then sila, when you vow to follow the advice of Buddha, you will be keeping it. Yeah? That is how you avoid all evil. Yeah, breaking the precept constitute major evil. Then bhavana is meditation, meditative training, so that you root out the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Develop more wholesomeness. Right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, all those things. Following the noble eightfold path. Then after that, you listen to the Dhamma, also meritorious. Then you straighten your view. Then you pay respect, also meritorious action. Then after that, you share merits. You rejoice. These are meritorious action. Then after that, you transfer merits. These are meritorious action. Then the other one is you provide service. You help out in the Buddhist activity community, like our spiritual trip, the annual retreat, all those things. All these are very wholesome. Then you join certain community to help us organize things. And also Dhamma books, the printing and all those things, the transcribing. All these are very wholesome. Then finally, also the gift of truth. When you have the Dhamma ready, you can help people. You can benefit people because you have benefited yourself. Then by helping out in the printing of the book and getting the book into order, like our latest few books, which I brought there, and I think they were very happy. Yeah, the last three are very good. So what happened was after he did all this, then he continued to learn the meditation. That part, I don't know how he progressed, but I believe he must have done fairly okay. Then what happened was, during the Thursday class, last time when he brought the daughter over, as I was sharing all this, then she started to do. Then the first time, because that time the asking for forgiveness and this, what they call following the advice of the Buddha, the third one is to invoke power of memory after some time for causes and conditions for the daughter to turn around, recover the good mind state so that she can gain back her life, to have the good life. So to cut the matter short, what happened was initially the first time, I think after a week or two, they asked me to do the transform marriage and sharing of marriage for the daughter. So the first time when I did that, I didn't feel anything. I just say, okay, no problem, let me do. Of course, sincerely do, but nothing happened. But after about, I think, a month plus or what, I remember, they came back and request again. No? That time when I did it, I felt something. No? That's why I told Suya, I think the daughter will recover. And the daughter really recovered. The parent was so happy. You know? Yeah. And you know what happened? The other good news is, Singhua told me, now the daughter, which is her niece, is studying medicine, no? During her third year. Yeah. Going to be a doctor soon. So, it's such a small world. No? So that's why we should really rejoice. Then after that, he asked me another person, Hippolyte, you know this May or not? I said, May? Which May? He said, she's my good friend. He said, she says she know you. He said, I said, so many Mays, which one? Yeah, Gan May May also May. The other May also May. There was another May earlier also May. He said that one with you and Uncle Ko. The moment he mentioned Uncle Ko, I remember. These were the first special. I think easily about almost 18 years ago or what. She was the one, you remember, I told you. She passed like Deva up there. Then she was born as a human. Then the Deva followed her, you know. Then as she grew up, they can communicate with her, talk to her, and he also can see them and can communicate her. Then as she grew up, she liked to do yoga or this thing. Then she also study, I think, the Hindu practice or what. Then something very funny happened, no? When I was at the Breakthrough Temple, she was also there. And she, for no reason, they come, my whole family in charge of Tate Library. He just come and a young lady, you know, fair, of course, yoga and, you know, keep her feet, whatever, help very well. So he talked to her, you know, say, then I said, actually, she's not interested in the tape, you know. She only want to get to know me so that I can introduce my second last teacher to her. And she also know I'm very different. Then later on, when I introduce her, then we get to know each other, then we become Kayamita, then all the sharing, everything. She was very happy, and we all every time go after that, go for supper. I told you all, 12 something and midnight, then supper until 3 a.m. That was the best. Then you know what she told me, you pretty with you. Can we go praises here? Yeah, the Singaporean, there's another case, you want to buy property there. He said, up there, a lot of Deva. So I went. Then after that, on the way, we discussed a lot of things. And he asked me, and finally she told me, do you know, my friend up there told me, I must get to know you. I said, why? He said, you are the longest cultivator on earth here. He said, huh? I said, what? Yeah. It's who you can get to know your teacher and all those things. Then every time we had our gathering and our sharing, when I was doing when I thirsty or what, they know one, they will condition one of the Kahimita to go and get water for me. And a lot of things, the non-human, he used to tell me, separate you, oh, waiting for merits only. Oh. You see, they are so much more than the human being that we saw. Then he every time laugh means something happened already. So this was a lady. And that's why it's a small world. Then not only that, this trip very strange. That TK, Chana, the sister, the first trip I went to the house, Sana, that talk, she asked me a lot of very good Mahayana questions. She actually is towards the Mahayana. She knows more of the Mandarin type of Dhamma. And the Theravada, she's not so familiar. But she know a little bit of English. And this trip, when he heard I was going over, he told TK Chan, I want to join. I got question to ask whether the then he brought his son. No? The son so young now, really. Must be 20 over 30 years old. No? Also very interested in all these things. No? Then TK Chan also brought the wife and the son, also young, but both, I remember the previous three also, they were there, both the children, and they were so keen, even at this age. So what happened was, he was full of joy. Then, I remember TK told me, my sister got a lot of questions to ask him. So I asked the sister when I met her, I said, I heard you want to ask me some question. He said, yeah, it's a bright deal. He said, how to detect the gateway to go to the nature? Oh, I look at her. Oh, I said, sadhu to you. I said, you wait. I bring the three book out. I said, 这三本书全部教你那个的。What is the difference between awareness and consciousness, then path to Nibbana and ultimate enlightenment. So that ultimate enlightenment, I say, is the latest book to transcend life. I say, inside there, I describe the four circle formation and all those things and how to do the trust and all those things. So I say, this will help you a lot. Then at the talk also, was same. No? I shared, what I did was, I started with this seminar book, because the PhD, Brother Theo Boon, he, because of this book, he get in contact, then he became so interested. And these people who are coming are the result of all those affinity and condition. And because of that, I knew this book is very important, very good. So what I will do is I will read to you the introduction so that you understand, right? So this international seminar on life management with meditation, experiences and success, dated 10 to 12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and the Mindfulness Center. And Brother Teo was invited to present a paper at the said seminar as a Malaysian speaker. Basing on some of the very good feedback and suggestions from seminar participants and Kayamita who had the condition to listen to my speech, my seminar speech, Bertil had finally agreed to allow his international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form for free distribution to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. It is Bertil's sincere hope and intent that Dhamma friends, practitioner, spiritual seeker, seeker of truth, cultivator, devotees, etc., will be able to make use of the Dhamma presented at this international seminar. To develop a better understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. So the reason why I want to share this is because I want to pass on the message that this Buddhist teaching is very unique, very, very special. So I will read to you the beginning of the paper, right? Opening statement. Title, I modify it to Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way by a Malaysian speaker, Brother Teo. Opening statement and introduction to the topic. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speaker, seminar participant, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefit for us to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays, especially so to our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace. And life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh too. Human suffering are very real, and it is happening almost everywhere, even to our youngsters nowadays. Then after that, I went on to describe the understanding of life is understanding life is meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. You should go back and read. All these are very good. Then after that, importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. Then after that, followed by understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, the Pancha Niyamas, then all described in detail. Then after that, explaining the Four Noble Truths. Then the meaning and purpose of life. Two important aspects of life, mundane and supramundane. Then finally is how to realize the materialistic success and spiritual success to bring about the fulfillment of a well-lived human life. So understanding the benefits of this teaching of the Buddha Dharma, which is so unique, is very important. Where it can let you develop the material success and spiritual success to understand life and live life to the fullest and all those things. So what I describe here is the usual success that living beings look forward to. First, academic excellence or success when we were young, then career success when you go through the career line or working line, then financial freedom to make us feel secure in life so that we can have early retirement to do the things we want to do in life. And having an understanding, good and happy family unit leading to relationship success. Then finally, I mentioned the first four types of successes are easy to be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one is more difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding to have a good family unit. Let us say you are able to achieve all the five materialistic success, but is your life really complete and are you really happy and safe? What happens when you confront the first noble truth reality of life and existence? The Buddha said when you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted, and suffering will be the result, as explained earlier. Hence, one still needs to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding to complement one's life. Otherwise, the first noble truth's life reality can still afflict you. Then, in conclusion, I said, my present life in this world was indeed rather blessed, for I not only excel in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career life. I was able to achieve my financial freedom fairly early too, and this had enabled me to retire officially from my engineering career life. At that time, I put 12 plus years ago. Now it's already 23 plus years ago, at the age of 46 plus, to do the things that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends and colleagues are very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled me to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life over the last. That time I put 24 plus years, now it's almost 34 plus years, coming to 35 years since 1989. I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who have affinity with this nature of mine to cope with their life problem. With this, I will end my today's talk. Thank you so much for your patience and kind attention. So those who have like depression, suicidal thought, first number two, reality like disease, separation problem, divorce and all things, they recovered beautifully after sharing the Dhamma with them. So this one, read it so that it can benefit you. Okay? Then after that, I think, and I got another 2-3 minutes, I have to summarize it really. So, that whole talk, you have to wait for Sui to come back and do the editing where we were told not to mention that place because the Buddhist library is kind enough to let us use that place. But we try not to make things difficult for them. So they say, actually, initially, is we cannot mention them at all. So we will abide by that. So what we do is the introduction part where we thank and present our Singapore Dharma friends' contribution to the Buddhist library together with my two set of my books to the temple committee and the library in Tumante. That part, I think we will edit it out. But you have seen the WhatsApp photo, that's enough. So what is happening is the talk was very comprehensive. I started with this, the seminar book. I explained the whole thing. Then I cover all the important explanation of why our Buddhist teaching by Sakyamuni Buddha is so unique. Then from there, I expanded on the cultivation too. Until they asked me about, the TK Chan sister asked me about this gateway thing. So I taught her how to do where she Mahayana. So I even teach her how to approach it from the Mahayana cultivation and develop it. And so that one, I think for a lot of the Kayamita who want to benefit more, you should listen. Well, that part is very unique. It's meant for people who are new to all this teaching and cultivation. When they have the condition like Thikhe Chan's sister, her faith is very strong. She do a lot of mindfulness chanting, yeah. And her faith and her understanding is also very good. A lot of things I share, she can understand. And she like the way I present the Dhamma. So all these are the causes and conditions and reason why I say this trip is meant to be. And the window is such, it has to be that window. Then it's mainly to benefit these few people. There is another Kayamita who also confronted the First Noble Truth reality. That one is the husband's side. I also teach her the same thing. After she heard about the Senghua's brother Eric Tan's case, she now has very strong faith. And that talk was very profound, based on the comment, so you know. You should wait for it to come up and listen to it attentively. It's really beautiful and meant to be. Okay, with this I will end. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu,
sadhu,
sadhu.
Okay, we will do the usual sharing of merits. And after that, we can do the closing prayer. Akasata ca pumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Sirang rakan tu loka sasana Hita wata ca amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabe dewa anumodantu Sabe sampati sidia Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatkarena Sasa sampati hitu cha Hitu bawahatu loko cha Raja bawantu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Sata samagamo otu Yawa nivana patia Sadu Sadu Sadu. Okay, you all can now be respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and other worthy one. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.